Maseches Kilayim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet, 6-4. In the previous Mishnah, I used an analogy talking about the halachas of a basis, a base for something that's mukta on Shabbos, and we said that if you have a tray, for example, and you have your wallet on the tray going into Shabbos, assuming you put that wallet intentionally on that tray, the tray becomes subordinate to the wallet, and just as the wallet is mukta on Shabbos, so too is the tray. It has the same status as the wallet, and that's true even if you later on, for whatever reason, manage to get that wallet off the tray by accident or purpose, the tray remains mukta because it's subordinate to a wallet and it's called a basis, a support, a base for the mukta. Now, just following that analogy a little further, you may be aware that if you have your tray and on the tray you have both your candlesticks on Shabbos, which of course are mukta, but you also have something else of equal or greater value than the candlesticks. Let's say you have your Rolex watch, or perhaps even the challah, since challah is very important on Shabbos, it's for your food, but certainly the Rolex watch, which is not mukta, and definitely worth more than your candlesticks, however valuable they are. So then, since the basis, the base, the tray, is both a basis for the mukta item, the candlesticks, and the Rolex watch, which is not mukta, so then the tray will not be considered subordinate to the less valuable, less significant item, the candlesticks. It'll be subordinate rather to the more significant item, the Rolex watch, and therefore it will not be mukta. So in other words, the support is only subordinate to that which it holds if the thing that it holds is a single thing. But if there are two things, then we would go after what's the more significant of the two, which is typically measured in terms of value, economic value. So similarly, in the previous Mishnah, we had said that just as if you train a single vine on a lattice work, the whole lattice work becomes forbidden to plant beneath, grains or greens, the same logic applies to an ilan struck, a non-fruit bearing tree. If you drape a grapevine over one of the branches, then all the branches become subordinate to the grapevine and you can't plant beneath any of those branches. But here in Mishnah Dalet, we talk about a fruit bearing tree. And as a fruit bearing tree, we say that the fruit bearing tree, the tree might be like a lattice work, so to speak, like a tray, if you will, a support system, but it has two things that it's supporting, both a grape vine and also the fruit that it bears. And that being the case, we question whether the tree now becomes subordinate to the vine when you have other fruits growing there. So the Mishnah says, Hamadle es hagefen al miktas ilan machel. If one trains his grapevine on part of a fruit-bearing tree, let's just for argument's sake say it has two branches, one on the east, one on the west, and you put it on you put your grapevine on the western branch. So mutlahavi zera el tachas amosar. The truth is, you can plant your grains or greens beneath that eastern branch, and in fact, the Mishnah is saying more than that. That if you have it just going halfway down the branch, you could plant your grains or greens beneath the other half of the branch. The reason being because since the branch bear something of value in its own rights, i.e. the fruit, so the tree doesn't become simply subordinate as like a lattice work, if you will, to the grapevine, and therefore it doesn't get the status of a grapevine, and therefore you could plant beneath the tree, let's say the apple tree, for argument's sake, or the fig tree, you'll see in a second. So you can plant beneath the branches of the fig tree, even if there's a grapevine trained on it, of course, provided that there's no grapevine directly over what you're planting. Therefore, the Mishnah says again, Hamad les agafen al miktsas ilan machel. If you train your grapevine on a portion of a fruit-bearing tree, mutlahavi zer al tachas hamosar. You could plant beneath the rest of the tree where there is no grapevine above. Vim hilach hachadash. If the grapevine grows now, as it does, and expands and reaches over what you planted. So in the previous Mishnah, we had said that renders it usser, according to pretty much everyone, immediately usar, since you planted illegally. But here you're not planting illegally. You're planting better. You're allowed to plant under the rest of the, let's say, fig tree, where there is no grapevine. And therefore, if your vine grows and grows over what you've planted down below, yachsirenu, it doesn't become usar. Just simply pull back the grapevine so it's no longer directly above what you have growing below. Now, Masa, this actually happens. Shehalach Rabbi Yoshua, Eitel Rabbi Yishmael, L'Kfar Aziz. Rabbi Yoshua went to visit Rabbi Yishmael in the place called Aziz, the village of Aziz. Verehu Geffen, he showed him this very case of grapevine, mudla al mitzas te'ena. It was draped over part of a fig tree. Amar lo. So Rabbi Yoshua asked Rabbi Yishmael, Ma'ani lahavi zera al tachas amosar. May I plant, let's say, wheat beneath the rest of the fig tree where there is no grapevine growing? Amar lo mutar. And Rabbi Shmuel said, yes, you may. Just as you saw in the, this is a Maaseh, a story that supports what we said previously. Now the story continues. V'haleu misham lebeis hamaganya. They then, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yishmael, went to another location called Beis Maganya, and there, Vareu Gefen Shi Mudla al Mitzas Hakora Vistan Shal Shikma. Rabbi Yeshua showed Rabbi Yishmael a grapevine that was trained over a Shikma tree. Let's translate a sycamore. Now, the Shikma tree is important in as much as it was used for timber. And the way the bartender learns it, it's very significant as a timber source, each branch being essentially a different beam in waiting. So again, now you have two branches, one to the west, one to the east, for argument's sake, and on the western branch, you have a grapevine trained. But there were other branches as well. Uvo koros harbet, there are many other branches, let's say one to the east, one to the north, one to the south. These koros means both branch and actually literally in like beam, construction beam, were growing there. Amarlo. So Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Yeshua, Tachas akora zu aser. This particular branch, the entire branch, that's how the bartender learns, since that branch is there acting as a support for the grapevine, that whole branch becomes forbidden to plant grains or greens beneath, like the branch itself, even the parts of the branch that aren't yet covered with grapevine. V'sha'ar mutar. But as for the other branches, the branch to the east or north or south, those have independent status, and they aren't acting as a support for the grapevine, and one may plant under those. So here we have a case, according to the Bartanura, where it's a middle case. Each beam or branch will get its own status, since these are timber branches. The ones dedicated to supporting grapevines are like the apifioris, the lattice work, and the entire branch, even the part that hasn't yet got a grapevine growing on it, becomes us to plant beneath. But the other beams, which are dedicated to be sources of timber down the way, they're not acting as a support for a grapevine, and therefore planted beneath those beams or branches, even though they're part of the same tree, is permissible